Okay, so today was Parshat Re'eh. So Re'eh begins, Re'eh Anochi Notin L'Pnei Yom Bracha Klala, that see, I give today before you blessing and curse. Welcome, Fern. So there's a stira like Re'eh is Lashon Yachid. Re'eh, see, that's the one person I say Re'eh, and L'Pneichem is Lashon Rabim. So many Mefarshim ask, why is one Yachid, one is one Rabim? So here, he quotes the Iturei Torah from the Sefer Tzror Amor. Tzror Amor, I don't remember the author's name, but he was a Makubal, and he lived around 1500. He was part of the, he was in Portugal for a while, and then he was chased out of there, and then he wrote a whole Perush on Chumash. He buried it, and then I think he couldn't recover, and then he rewrote it, and he eventually made his way to Morocco. So he says, "Bein Lashon Yachid Re'eh and Lashon Rabim L'Pneichem." He says that the Ikar in the Emunah L'Malos Yisrael, even though we're many Jews, we're all Chashiv like one. We're all like unified into one group, because Shorish Nishmatam Yachim Yucha, because our neshamas are all connected with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Like Rashi says, in the name of the Medrash in Parshas Vayigash, Esav Sheish Nefashot Ayulo. Esav, in the Torah, it lifts six members of his household, and the Torah writes nafshot beito, plural, the souls of his household. He says, because they were obnei avodah zarah, they had many gods. Yaakov shivim ayulo. Yaakov Avinu had 70 members of his household, and the Kore calls them nefesh. You know, whatever. So he says, because they were worshiping one God. So he says that we've seen the Torah, sometimes Israel is called Lashon Yachid, like Lo Yelecha Elohim Achirim, you singular shouldn't have other gods. And sometimes Lo Ta'asu Lachem Elohim, plural. He says that's to teach the Maila that even though they're Rabim, they're like a Yachid, they're all one unit. So their Chazal teach us, he says, even five people, even one, because the Rabbim are like the Yachid is like the Rabbim. In other words, and by all of them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzarif with them. So he's saying that his answer is, Re'eh is a unit that even though you're many, but you're unified and you're Amunah, you're all connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Metzias is Lefneichem, you're a numerous people. That's the first Hesber. Okay, everybody good with that? All right, now he quotes from the Gra. The Gra says, Re'eh is Lashon Yachid. A person shouldn't say, like, what difference does it make if I choose the right path? If most of the people are doing Ra, the bad path, so this is Re'eh. Re'eh and Asher Lefanecha. You do what you, in other words, you look at your cheshbon. Don't worry about everybody else. Everybody else is Mechal Shabbos. Everybody else is eating Trefus. Everybody else is Mezana. You Re'eh. You look at your own situation. Anochi, he darshens each word in the pasuk. Re'ei anochi, anochi, and don't say, how can I, you know, fight the Yetzirah and all of his, techniques? Because anochi, I Hashem will be there to support you. Like Chazal teach us, Yitro Shel Damit Gaber La B'Chol Yom, that a person's Yetzirah like gains strength against them each day. El Shekadosh Baruch Hu Ozro, but Hakadosh Baruch Hu helps them. He says, I think the Gemara says, El Malei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ozro Lo Yecholo. But for Hashem's help, he couldn't overcome the Yitzhahara. Then notain is in the present tense, I give, I'm giving you now. It doesn't say natati, that a person shouldn't think, I chose one bad path, so I'm history already. In other words, you know, I was Mechal Shabbos, I married a Shiksa, I'm eating Trefus. It's like history, I can't go back, I can't fit into a shul situation. So notain, that a person always has a breira, every day in his life, a person always has a choice, and he should choose the derech hatova, v'yad yomo to tchakalo, the tshuva, v'im yashuv miyad tkablo. Lifneichem, he says, and there, if a person says, how can I know what the right path is, what's the bad path, everything is confusing. You know, I don't know what's right, I don't know what's wrong. So he says, the pasuk says, lifneichem, that you should like test it out and look at the history of the whole nation, and it'll be clear for you. In other words, lifneichem, in other words, everything is like set out, I guess, before you, like, you know, before Klal Yisrael, you see the whole history of the Jewish people, and you'll know which way the wind blows. Just two more minutes. And then Hayom, maybe a person says, what takana, I'm already like all for schmutz with Aveira. So what happened with the Aveira I did up till now? So hayom, every day should be beinecha kecharash. Every day should be like a new day. The one second. And let me just say one little piece. Now, this is from the Kutzker Rebbe. He quotes, he says that it begins Lashon Yachid Re'e. Again, everybody asks, why is it Re'e and why is Lefnechem? That's everybody asks. But the Kutzker Rebbe says, why Re'e? And then in Lashon Rabbim Lefnechem, the Torah was given to everybody in an equal fashion. In other words, everybody receives the Torah, he says, but not all, like the visions and the conceptions are the same. Everybody sees it based on his, you know, sight and his Havana. So Re'e Anochi Natin Lefnechem, I've said it all before you, but everybody has their own vision, their own understanding, their own capabilities, and that's why it's Re'e is Lashon Yachid. Okay, so you wanted to say something, Aaron Moshe? Aaron Moshe?
I have to unmute. The others want to say very similar. They want to say Re'e is Lashon Yachid, that you're responsible for the Rabbim, for Lefneichem, so they want to say Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh. So what it says in Masechta Shuvah, so Re'e is a Lashon Yochid, but you're responsible for the other person too. You got to make sure that you got to try to reach out to the other people, and also do something. And the Kutzker, you will mention the Kutzker has a whole thing on these pashyos over here. He says Re'e is do a cheshbon nefesh into yourself, and then as the Ken Zayin Ashoifet, then you'll be shoifted. Then you'll be able to be a shofet. He says, and then kitzeitzeis klad milchoma, you'll be able to go out and hold milchoma with the Yetzirah. He says, but once you hold milchoma from the Yetzirah, you still have to be spiritual on a high level. Kisavoy, Mr. Tzikiman, and down spiritual on a high level. And then he says, demels nitzavim, you'll be able to stand before the Rebbeinu Shloim, and vayelach to become, you become a hoylach to do mitzvahs and ma'isim tovim.
That's the Kutzker Rebbe says that?
Yeah, the Kutzker says that.
Okay, like, very nice.
And okay. The Chidah brings down similar, when he's talking about this, he says that the Machshava Torah Metzav for Lamasa, so it's Metzav to the Maisa, but the Machshava Ra is not Metzav. Only if you have the Machshava, there has to be a Maisa, there has to be a Guf doing something. So like the Rashi says, Einayim Royas Leiv Chaymet, but besides the eyes and the heart, you need a guf to do something. And once you have the guf, it's ayin for seeing, lay for heart, and gimel for guf. It spells out eagle. Then if you do the avay, it's an eagle. That's when you have the eagle azov. That brings the eagle azov. The chidah brings like that.
Okay, I'm going to, unless anybody else says, I'm going to move on. Okay, now, this is from Rav Simon Sefer, the Imri Baruch. So he has a piece now. He says that, you know, if we look at different midot, different, you know, character traits, so the best character trait is anivus, humility, and the worst is gaiva, is arrogance. And he says that there's a Igeret Ramban where he left a letter, like an ethical letter to his son. And he says the best midah is anivus. And we see Moshe Rabbeinu was a big anav. And then we said, gaiva, that's very bad. Like the Gemara quotes him, he quotes the Gemara Masechet Sota, Amar Rav Chisda v'Tamar Ukva, Kulam Sheish V'Gasar Ruach, anybody who has arrogance, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, anivu hu yichon ladur ba'olam. I and he can't live in the same world. In other words, like the Ramban says in Igeret, he says anybody who has arrogance is rebelling against the Malchut Shemayim, rebelling against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, because he's mitpayer, he's taking like the royal garments from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he says Hashem Malach Gid Lavesh. Hashem is you know, Gaya, he's like proud or whatever, but he's invading the thing. Now, he says, even though that's the way we normally say, sometimes it's just the opposite. Sometimes a person has to be toe-face the midah of gaiva, and he's mentioned before, like there's a gaiva, the kedusha, and he says there, and that, in other words, sometimes I have to do a task and I need a certain amount of gaiva to undertake this task, whether it's like davening or creating a program in a shul or things like that. And the midah of anava gets in the way of that progress. So sometimes, even though normally Anivas is good and Gaiva is bad. Sometimes it's a situation where Gaiva is good and Anivas is bad. You know, I'll mention, just as Agav Orcha, you know, I think people generally don't think of themselves as arrogant. I don't know if anybody walks around thinking that they're arrogant. So even, you know, so you need a lot of circumspection, introspection, to really clarify whether you're being arrogant or not. Because I don't know that, you know, I can't remember anybody ever thinking or saying I'm arrogant. You know, I think people just, everybody feels like I'm regular, you know what I mean? So it needs a certain amount of self, or you can go to, if you have a Rebbe, you can go to the Rebbe or the Rav, and he could, you know, help you with different meetup. So now we connect it to our Parsha. So he says that Moshe Rabbeinu opens up his words. He says, Rei Anochi Notin Lefnecha Miyom Brachan Klala. So a number of Farshim say, why to say the word Anochi? Anochi is like somebody was saying to me, it's like a little bit more elaborate word for Ani, Anochi. And why do you say Rei Lashon Yachid? And the whole Parsha is in Lashon Rabim. So here he quotes from the Ora Chaim. The Ora Chaim says, Rei Anochi, that everybody should make Moshe Rabbeinu as an example. In other words, like Re'ei Anochi, in other words, not see that I'm giving you today, but Re'ei Anochi, look at me and take me, Moshe Rabbeinu, as an example for you to follow. And he says, in other words, everybody should compare themselves to somebody who's higher up on the hierarchy of Ruchnias, not somebody who's lower on the level of Ruchnias. And that's what it says, Lashon Yachid. He says, and maybe, when he says Lashon Yachid Re'ei, like to the individual, the Orach Chaim says, maybe he only said this to Yechideyam. In other words, like, there's a whole pecking order, a whole hierarchy. So let's say there's 20 classifications. So let's say Moshe Rabbeinu was at the top tier. So the people in the second tier, he's saying, Re'ei, like, you look at me. People in the third or the fourth tier, they have to look who's above them, but they're like, you know, not close enough to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Keneged Klal Yisrael, he says, Notein Lefneichem. So Re'ei Anochi, like to the individuals who are close by, I say, Re'ei Anochi, look at me. And Lefneichem, that's for everybody else. I'm saying Lefneichem, that's too much for you, but you have to look above where you are. So the idea is you have to look at Moshe Rabbeinu and yearn for that and to be higher up on that, and people should always look above them. Now he mentions, he quotes now from the Mor Vashemesh. Mor Vashemesh, I might say, is a classic Hasidic sefer. I think it's from Clonius Kalman Alevi Epstein, is the way I recall Mor Vashemesh.
Is that Talmud by the Rebbe Meiler?
Okay, so he says, so he also, again, everybody's asking the same questions. Everybody's coming up with different answers. He says, why is it Anochi? It doesn't say Ani Notain or Hinani Notain. So he says he heard from Rabbi Yechiel Michal of Zlachev on the Pasuk, Anochi Omeid Bein Hashem Uveinechem. So the simple Pasha on the Pasuk, this Pasuk is in Devarim Perik Hey. I think it's in Vayit Chanan, I think it's in Vayit Chanan. It says, Anochi Omei Bein Hashem Uvein Eichem, I, Moshe Rabbeinu, stood between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time of Matan Torah. That's a simple pshat in the Pasuk. So he says, but he's darshaning it out that if a person thinks, like, you know, I have gaiva, I've accomplished a lot, he says that's a masach amavdil, that's like a barrier between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's not able to, like, get the ruchnias from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's Anochi, that a person's machzik himself is like a yesh be'ez davar. In other words, like my ego. Anochi omeid bein Hashem ubein Eichem. My ego stands between Hashem and me. Anochi omeid bein Hashem ubein Eichem. The Anochiot, like, is a barrier. It's in between, it's blocking you off. But again, this is from the Mor Vashemesh. He says, not every time is the same. And when a person is pouring out, like, his prayers before Hashem, so if he thinks, like, who am I to even speak to a Kaddish Baruch Hu? And I'm embarrassed to even daven with Hislavos, with enthusiasm. So he says, so then that becomes blocking me. So when he has to come to daven to Hashem, he has to, like, strengthen himself. He says, I'm a gibor to come Beheichal HaMelech. And that's Re'ei Anochi, that when a person is machzik himself to a yesh, that's notein lefnecha miyom bracha u'klala. So in other words, Re'ei Anochi, like this aspect of gaiva, that could be a bracha or a klala. That's why he's starshing out. Just one second. It was Re'ei Anochi, this Anochiud, this like ego bit, that could be a bracha or a klala. So Re'ei Anochi, see that the Anochi, that's a bracha or a klala. If I'm using it in the right way, it's a bracha. If I'm using it the wrong way, it's a klala. All right, what do you want to see, Aaron Moshe?
His name was Ichimaya. He was from Warsaw. Then he became the Chedush Yerim, the Geir Rebbe. So he says, when you say Mizmer L'Saida, we say, Duk HaShem, he like him who was son of Eloi Anachnu. He says, if you feel that the Rebbeinu Shaloyla made you, and you're a lowly person, then V'Eloi Anachnu, with Avov. But if you don't feel, if you feel that whatever, he says,
yeah, I think, is that a Korean ksiv, by the way, or not? Do you know? It might be a Korean ksiv. Would work out even better. Like,
yeah, so work out even better.
Yeah,
so,
I have to.
So the Geir Rebbe says that. Then it's loy mitanalef, nishloy mitarov, like we're saying. And then also, I saw the Dubna Magid has a beautiful idea here with this whole first pasha. He says that the whole thing he's saying, the Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael, after 40 years, I have to still treat you like a child when it goes to Cheder in the old time. Now you can't do this anymore. But there was a kontrik and there was a candy. If the child was good, the Rebbe gave him a candy. Otherwise, he gave him a country. You know what a country?
It's called a country?
He hit him in Yiddish.
What's the word in Yiddish?
A country.
A patch, a patch.
Yeah, but he hit him with like a piece of a strap or something.
I hear.
Soft piece of strap. So he says, this is the way we are too. I got to give you the bracha. And I'm giving you the klala.
All right.
Just after right. 40 years, I still have to treat you like a child.
All right. All right, Livia, what do you want to say?
Rabbi, can you remind me what is a kri and ktiv? And yeah. Also, do we have them from a Mesorah? Or could we find them ourselves?
No. So kri and ktiv means that our Mesorah is that the word is written one way, but it's pronounced another way. I have to check on that pasuk, so that's what a kriyin ksiv is. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. We're back in the Sefer with the Parsha. So welcome, Mark. Welcome. So let's just bring Mark up to date in 30 seconds or less. We were saying that that the best mida is an attribute. The best mida is anivus, is humility, and the worst mida is arrogance. But sometimes it's flipped over. This is from Rav Simon. Sometimes you need arrogance to undertake a project that's called gaiva de kedusha. I'm using my gaiva, I want to daven. I can't say who am I. I have to daven, or I want to create some program in the shul. I can't say I'm an anav, that I can't do anything. And then the anivus is just the opposite. All right. So now he quotes from Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, in his Perush on Torah. He explains the word bracha and klala. He says bracha is connected to the word barech. Barech is like your knee. Bracha is connected to barech. He says that bracha is the chibur of like the elements that move you forward, like like locomotion. In other words, he says bracha is like further development without, in other words, it's like constant progress. It's bracha. And klala is not just the opposite of bracha, a lack of progress. He says klala is the opposite of bracha, means like you're lacking any content, he says. And it's come from the shorsha kalal. Kalal means like something light and like and removed from the scale. So the choice between those two choices, between bracha and klala, is given through us through the Torah, and it depends on us. So he, Rav Simon, wants to say that based on the Mor of Hashemesh and Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, we can put it all together, that bracha is this koach of gavos v'nasus. In other words, is like the inner confidence is bracha, which helps move you forward, and you're avodas Hashem. And klal is just the opposite. When a person is totally miyayish, he says, who am I to serve Hashem? So then that blocks his forward progress. All right, now, with this he connects as a medrash at the beginning of our parsha, Medrash Tanchuma. It says, Re'an ochin otein lefnei bracho klala. So the medrash says, Mashal zaken she'yoshev al derech. It's like an old man was sitting on the crossroads. He says, Vayulafanav shed rachim. There's one path, it's like Robert Frost, like two paths diverted in a woods. He says, one path is kotzim in the beginning and then mishur. One path is thorns initially, and then everything is clear. Then I can zoom down. And one is clear, and then it's followed by all these thorns. So he's sitting on the crossroads, and he would admonish the people and say to them, even though you see this path has got thorns, but in the end it'll be much better for you. It works out much better. And if a person was a chacham, he would listen to him and take that and go a little distance, and then everything is good. But the people that wouldn't listen to him, they would go, and then they would run into problems at the end. So too Moshe Rabbeinu explains to Klal Yisrael, that's the Derech HaChaim and Derech HaMavet, the Brach and the Klala, and it was Uvacharta B'Chaim. In other words, the Derech of Chaim, you have this path, path A, it's difficult initially, but in the overall picture, it's going to be much better for you. So he quotes from Rabbarach Mordechai Yizrachi in his Sefer Birchat Mordechai. He says, why are there only two paths? Why can't he have a third path? Like, why do they have like two curtains? Why can't they have a third path? Smooth. I just get on, I go. I think of it like the Long Island Expressway, or like roads. Like one road has got traffic initially, then you zip along, and the other's got it's clear, and then you have a lot of traffic. Why can't I have one road, you know, zip? I go all the way through.
The clear view.
Yeah, well, yeah, but except it leads nowhere. Anyway, so he says that this is the derech of the Torah. In other words, it's only through overcoming difficulties that we're able to progress. So to have clear and clear doesn't do anything for you. The derech of bracha is to overcome the obstacles in life. And then you're in much better shape. So with this, he connects to the Sifrei. It says, "Kilma koma shiv har shalom kechem ishkol shivtichem shechnotid reshuvat hashama." So in our parsha, it says the place that Hashem will choose. In other words, the place where Hashem chooses for the Beis Hamikdash, but it doesn't say where He chooses. He just says the shechnotid reshu. You should seek out His dwelling place and come there. So the Sifrei says, maybe I should wait till the Navi tells me. Talmud Lomar, the Shnotid Reshuvat Hashama. Derosh Motzev Acharchach Yomar L'Chanavi. You have to do what you can to locate this place, and then the Navi will confirm it for you. He says, and you see by David HaMelech, he says, like, I'm not going to sleep till I find the place for a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So he quotes further from the Sefer Birchat Mordechai that the place for the Shekhinah you have to search out through toiling, because all the toiling is something that can't be separated from the mitzvahs of Hashem. The Beis HaMikdash is something that we have to toil for, and it's not just a makom for the Shekhinah. So the Shechno Tidrashu, there's a Drisha, is a chelek from the Binyan Beis HaBechira. And he says that in time of Abram Avinu, when he went to the Har Moriah for the Akedah Yitzchak, for the binding of Isaac, they didn't reveal to him, Shemaim didn't reveal to him where that place was initially. He just says, Allah Chadarim Shoramari Lecha. Because even by the Akedah, the Chiddush was that part of the Avoda was the Nisayon, he's got to like find the place. And he says it could be that's the reason why at a marriage there is the hashkacha is darko shlish lechazer achar avedato, that a man normally seeks his partner in life. In other words, he says because the ikar tachlit of nisuin, the purpose is to create a makom for the shechina. In other words, when you have a man and wife, it says betocham velo betocho. V'asuli mikdash v'shachanti. Right, in other words, I will dwell in them. So he says, so the chippus is begetter shechno tidrashu. Means, in other words, he's saying like Hashem dwells, like a person creates a marital home. The Hashem dwells in that home, dwells among the husband and wife, and that also part of that process always also requires the effort to find the mate. So he says, with this, he wants to explain the kush of the Rambam, Es and Mor Nevuchim, Guide to the Perplexed. Why doesn't the Torah tell me where the Makom Mikdash is? Why does the Torah leave this as a mystery? Why is it So he gives three reasons. One is that if he would reveal it, so the non-Jews would hold on to it and fight till death so that we shouldn't get it. That's answer one. Answer two, is that they shouldn't destroy the place. And the third answer is, and he thought this is the strongest answer, that every Shevet would want it. So he says, based on what he said up till now, it could be a fourth reason, and that because the Binyan Beis HaMikdash requires Chippus and Amelus to be Masigit. In other words, Sion Mechlal Dabai Drisha. The Gemara says Sion requires Drisha, like seeking out. So Sion Mechlal Dabai Drisha, I think it's like, so that's part of the effort. So the Ikar of the Avodas Hashem is Sheifa, for yearning, not to look below you, but to always seek to go upwards. Like we said, look at Moshe Rabbeinu and try to go upwards. And that's a big part of our Avodas Hashem. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything I said so far? All right, let me go further. Now he quotes from the Sefer Shifot by Rabbi Yitzchak Hershkowitz, and he brings, among other things, this is Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said when he was older, my whole life, I yearned to be like the Vilna Gaon. This is Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. So the Vilna Gaon died in 1797, and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter lived in the 19th century. So he said, my whole life, I yearned to be like the Vilna Gaon, therefore I became Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. In other words, he's yearning to be that which is above him. And he says, and the Chafetz Chaim said, he said, Napoleon says that a soldier that has no desire to be the general is not even a soldier. He says, and I, the Chafetz Chaim, say that a Ben Yeshiva that doesn't desire to be a Gadol B'Torah is not a Ben Yeshiva. In other words, to be a Ben Yeshiva, you have to have that yearning, like to be like the Rosh Yeshiva, to be the Gadol B'Torah. So he brings a story, this is again from the Sefer Shifot, that Reb Chaim Shulevitz was the Rosh Yeshiva, the Mir Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. So, but he studied in Europe before he went to Eretz Yisrael. He's not alive anymore. Zecher Tzadik Livracha. So he told his Talmidim that when he was a younger man, he studied and in the Yeshiva in Grodno. So he went to rest for a number of days in the Yeshiva in Novartik with his uncle, Reb Avram Yaffin. So during one of the times that he stayed there, he went to his uncle and he said, I want you to show me the best bacher in Yeshiva. Show me the best bacher you have here in Novartik. So the Rosh Yeshiva pointed to a certain bacher. He said, he's the greatest Amkin. Amkin means the one who's able to plumb the depths of the Gemara. He's the greatest Amkin. Then he showed him another bacher. He said, he's the greatest Masmid. Masmid is somebody who studies day and night. He's the greatest Masmid in the Yeshiva. And then he showed him other bacherim, and each bacher had a different quality. And he said, and then he said, this one is the greatest Yirat Shemayim. This one is the greatest Yirat Shemayim. This one is the greatest Baki. This one has the greatest, you know, overall knowledge of Gemara, and so forth. So then Reb Chaim said, so who's the best bacher in the yeshiva? I didn't give me 100 people here. Who's the best bacher in the yeshiva? So he took him to one of the corners of the yeshiva. He pointed to a certain bacher. He said, here, he's the best bacher in the yeshiva. So Reb Chaim, again, Reb Chaim Shulevitz said, he said, I don't understand. You meant he's the best in this, he's the best in that, he's the best in the other one. How is it that he's the best bacher in the yeshiva? So Avram Yaffin said, you're correct. This bacher is not the greatest Elui. He's not the greatest Amkin. And he's not the greatest Masmid. But he's the best one. This bacher, he says, is the mevakesh yeshiva, the one who seeks knowledge. He says, and a person who's the mevakesh, the one who's like the seeker of knowledge, so he's the one who's going to go like the furthest distance. He says, even though they have other midot. So after a period of time, the boy that he, Rabbi Avraham Yaffin, pointed out was Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, the stipler. The stipler passed away a few years ago, but he did become a Gadol B'Torah. But the key is like with this aspect of being Mevakesh Hashem. You know, I have another sefer in the other room, but I'll tell you, it's a story. It's a similar related story. This is about Rabbi Ezel Charif. He was a big Gadol B'Torah. And the way I recall the story, he went to the yeshiva Volozhin, and he said that any bachur who's able to answer my question will get my daughter in marriage. In other words, I want a Talmid Chacham, so answer my question. So all the Talmidim were so eager, they all lined up, long lines to try to give answers, this, that, the other, but nobody got the answer. So after a couple of days, he left. He went on his wagon, and he left town, empty-handed. As he's leaving town, he hears one of the Bachrim running after him. He says, Rav, Rav. He says, an answer. So he stops. Do you have an answer to my question? He says, no, but I have to know what is the answer to the question. So I can't remember if he took him as his son-in-law, but the idea was he felt that he was the Mavakesh. He was the one who really is seeking knowledge. All right, now, sometimes...
It's a nice story, Rabbi. It's actually a nice story.
Okay. Okay, it's a true story. Okay, now, sometimes there's a person who doesn't feel yearning.
There's a similar story with the Arizal. The Arizal was being masked with the Ramak by Moshe Kadaveri. And he said to the audience of Bochum, who sees what I see? So one Bochum saw Amida Nahira came down from heaven to the casket. To Rav Moshe Kadaveri. So he wanted to take this kid for his Eidim, for his son-in-law. But afterwards, the kid did some chait, and he didn't take him.
Right.
There he is now.
Okay. All right, let's take a look. Now, he says, sometimes, for some reason, a person doesn't feel like there's yearning to come close to Hashem. So he has to, force himself to toil in Torah mitzvot, and then he'll fulfill the mitzvah. The Torah says, Tamu ru'u ki tov Hashem. Taste and see that Hashem is good. By tasting the Ziva Torah mitzvot, he'll see that it's good and he'll come to desire it. In other words, if a person immerses himself in Torah, he'll develop a taste for it, and then he'll yearn more and more. And that's what we say in the Haftorah for tomorrow. The Haftorah says, Hoy kultzam elechulamayim v'asherin lo kasef. Let every thirsty person go to water, and the person who doesn't have money, l'chu shivru v'acholu, go purchase and eat without money. L'chu shivru b'lo chesed lo mechir yayin v'chalav. Eat, you'll consume it, wine and milk. So the Abarbanel says that the Navi here is listing the Madregot, the different groups in Klal Yisrael. Some are tzmeim and gamra avim. Some are really thirsty and really hungry, like hoikot samim luchulamayim, not rav lalechem lo tzma lamayim, like the pasuk says, not a hunger for food, not a thirst for water. He says kim l'shmoa et debar Hashem. They want to hear the word of God. He says, and there for the first kriya is hoikot samim luchulamayim. Let everybody who's thirsty go to the water. You're all primed for it. He says. But then there's another madrega of people who don't have that desire, and those are the Ami Haaretz. He says, those people, it says, Vasherin lo kasef l'chushev ruvacholu. So kasef, he says, means like a taiva. In other words, kesef we usually translate as money, but kesef is like nichsof nichsafti, I desire. That's why kesef is called, money is called kesef. It's like people desire it. So he says, Va'asherin lo kasef, if a person has no desire, he says, L'chu shivru v'acholu. In other words, even though you're chaser without yedin, you don't desire it, go be matriach yourself to study Torah, and then you'll come to desire it. And so that's the ikar of the bracha, when a person has desire for godless. Okay, let me just summarize what we did, then I'll hear from you in a minute, our Moshe, okay? So the idea we were saying, or that Reb Simon was saying, we spoke about gaiva and anivus. Anivus is the best mida, gaiva is the worst, but sometimes it's the flip. And then we said, it says, re'e anochi, why is re'e lashon yachid? And anochi is an elaborate form of for ani. That's the way I have a friend, Rabbi Ariel Diamond, was saying that. So one is re'e anochi. The Or HaChaim says, everybody should look at me, at Moshe Rabbeinu, but only yechidim. In other words, I'm here, and so there's maybe 20 classifications. So if you're at grade 2, you can look at me and take me as an example, but everybody should look to go up. And then we mentioned from the Mu'or of Shemesh that Re'ei Anochi, Notin Lefnecha Miyom Bracha and Klala. Anochi means ego. Your ego could be a bracha or a klala, depending how you use the ego, whether you use it in the right place or the wrong place. And then we said, bracha is like what moves you forward. It's from the knee. Bracha, barech is knee. So you want to say, like, if you have, like, this, like, gaiva de kedusha, that motivates you to go forward. If not, then it's klala. Then in that situation, the anivus becomes a klala. Then we quoted from the Medrash Tanchuma that, like, a person's on the crossroads. You have the two roads. One's got kotzim and one's clear. So, but the kotzim ends up being the better road. So the Birchat Mordechai said, why can't I have a third road who's got no problems whatsoever? That's not the way of Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem, you overcome obstacles and you move up in life. And then he quotes from the Beis HaMikdash, the Shechna Tidrashu, you should seek out the place of the Beis HaMikdash. And he thinks that that's why it's not revealed. In other words, he wants to say, why didn't Hashem reveal the place of the Mikdash? So the Rambam has three reasons, but this Birchat Mordechai wants to say so that you should put effort into finding it. And then he quotes about Sheifa. We had the story, we said, from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that he desired to be the Gra, so became Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And the Chafetz Chaim said, if a soldier doesn't desire to be Napoleon, he's not a soldier. So Ben Yeshiva has desire to be a Gadol B'Torah. And then we had the story about Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, that he went to the Yeshiva, and his uncle, Rav Ram Yafin, said this is the best Bachar, because he was a Mevakesh Hashem. Then I told you that other story about Rabbi Yisrael Charif with the Shidduch. And then it says at the end, the Yabar Benel says in the Haftorah, if you're tzame, you're really desirous, so go and brush yourself in Torah. But if you don't have a desire, so what is it? What is the Pasuk saying? One second. He says, so go immerse yourself even without the desire, and then you'll come to have the desire. Okay, now, what's up, Aaron Moshe? What do you got for me?
To say two things. First of all, kesef, I also saw someone else, kesef is also damim, blood. It's like blood. We call it damim, but it's also blood. That's why the Magbeya came out and fired to Moshe Rabbeinu, because the kesef you could use both ways. You could use it for good, and you could use it for knowledge.
I think there's the Noam Elimelech, I think, says that. The Noam Elimelech says, why did he show him, why did he show him Magbeya Shel Eish? He says that the Eish could be for constructive purposes and destructive.
I was once sitting in the car with my brother Oliver Sholem and Sholem Shwadran, the Maggid. So my brother used to accompany him to always there at Yisrael. So one time he gets into the car, used to speak in a deep voice. So he used to say, and he used to give you the lineage of the Meister. He told you, Yichabuskehet from the Rebellion, meaning Rebellion Laplan. Vusatuskehet from the Rebbe Yisroel, meaning Rebbe Yisroel Salanta, Vusatuskehet from the Rebbe Zindel, Rebbe Zindel Salanta, and he said, Vusatuskehet from Rebbe Chaim Velojin Alei. What was the Meister? A Bocher came at night, the Chaim Velojin had a room in the yeshiva on top besides his regular dwelling. He had a room in the base medrash where sometimes he would sleep. So he came to the base medrash late at night, and he sees a Bocher. He says, what's this thing though? What are you doing here? This Bocher was already of Moilam of Emes. He was gone. He was dead already. He says, what's this thing though? He says, when Shildik, the Frau from the Achzanya, Zibin Piastra, Chavsky gave him to my Nefrain, and not the Svagessens, he gave him to the Frau. What is translation? Meaning that he owed 7 pennies to the woman in the Achzanya that he was living, gave it to a friend of his to give to her, and the friend didn't give it to her. So he says to him, Lech Bisholim, not Lech Lesholim, but Lech Bisholim with a base, because he was already of Yenavel. He says, and I'll take care of it. So the Shulam Shradon says, Tasted of Yisrael Shire. He says, Ibizibin Piastra, Lotmanishtain, a Tzadik Gomar, Gan Eden. Over 7 pennies, they don't let in a Tzadik Gomar in Gan Eden. Meaning, you don't have to steal, you don't have to be made off. You don't have to steal billions and millions of dollars. A small amount of money, they won't let you into Gan Eden.
The Aaron Moshe, I assume this is like 50 years ago when this took place, right?
Yes, it's a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. So how is it that you came to have this like kesher with Rav Shalom Shwadron?
My brother, I'm telling you, used to accompany him to Eretz Yisrael all the time. How this came about, right. I don't know. But the Maggid was a shugah from Reb Shlomo Zalman. He was a brother-in-law to Reb Shlomo Zalman.
All right. Anybody else have anything else to say? All right. So I'm going to do another piece, and then that will be it. All right? All right. Now, in the Parsha, it mentions a lot of different things in this Parsha, by the way. And this Parsha also has, for people in Chutz La'aretz, we have at the end, we have, Aser Taser. We have the laning. In other words, on the last day of Yantiv, of Sukkot and Pesach and Shavuos, so this is the Kriyas HaTorah. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, so then you miss it out, or you'll get it in the Parsha of Shavua, but we here in Chutz La'aretz hear it four times a year. We hear it in the Parsha of Shavua, we hear it then as well. Yeah, what's up, Aaron Moshe?
I was going to say that when we lay Nasa Tayasa at the end of Sukkot in Eretz Yisrael, they're laying V'zoyis HaBracha.
Yeah, right. That's
Sat
right.
Marov, Rabbi Yoel, says that if you give money, Asa to Asa, to Eretz Yisrael, to the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, it's a boomerang where, in fact, you'll have a Zoysa Brocha. The Brocha is going to come from Eretz Yisrael, come America.
All right, very nice. All right, so now, in the other things in the Parsha as well, but among other things, it mentions the mitzvah Maser Sheni. So Maser Sheni, you take a tithe of your produce and you bring it to Yerushalayim and you eat it there. Or if it's too much, then you're poda it on money, and you had a chomesh, daf yomi, people know, and you go and you buy food, and we get to Yerushalayim. So he begins. He says, first of all, he quotes from the Gemara in Baba Batra, Amar Vid Marab, Ram Zachuro Tov Yish Tov Yishub Ben Gam L'Shemo, Shemalehu Nishtach HaTorah Yisrael. So Rab says that like this Rabbi Yishub Ben Gamla is Zayin Gebenched. He should be blessed. Because, but for him, the Torah would have been forgotten from Klal Yisrael. If a person had a father to teach him Torah, he learned. If a person didn't have a father, he didn't learn. So he established that they should have like teachers teaching, children in Yerushalayim, and you get a yeshiva education. So Tosfos writes, why did he establish it in Yerushalayim? Like, why is the education in Yerushalayim? So Tosfos says, "Lefisha yiroa kedusha gedola b'konim oskim ba'avoda," that the student who would come to Yerushalayim would see the tremendous kedusha, like the holiness of the place, and kohenim who were osek in the service in the Beis Hamikdash, mechavim libo yoter liyirat shemayim lomo Torah, that helps focus on learning Torah. He says, like the Sifrei says, "V'achalfanei Hashem l'kech l'man tamad li'yirat Hashem l'kech kol yamim." Gadol Maser Sheni shemevi lidei Talmud. The Maser Sheni is great because just by eating the food in Yerushalayim, it brings you to learning. L'fishay omi Yerushalayim at shulchan Maser Sheni shelo. By a roeshkul moskim ulech shemayim avoda. I get to Yerushalayim, I see everybody involved with avoda. So he would also be mechaving that way. So it comes out that the purpose of Achilat Maser Sheni Yerushalayim is like the Pasuk says, L'man Tamad Li'irat Hashem, you learn to fear God. He says, when a person is in a Makom Kadosh, he gets this Avira of Yirat Shemayim, he's Mushba from it. So he says, so the Rambam says this could both be for good, and also unfortunately it could be for bad. He says, Derech Riyato Shalom Nimshach B'deotav Ma'asavach Ha'reyav B'chavirav, that everybody innately in our DNA, we're pulled to be like our friends, and no way kimenag on shemadina to. I want to blend into the people around me. So a person should try to be mechaber himself, like link up with tzaddikim, stay away from rishayim, that he should learn from their actions. It's true also with tamidim who go to Eretz Yisrael to study in yeshiva. I remember many years ago, one of my rebbeim in high school, like somebody asked them, why is it that the same Talmidim, here, they're one way, and then they get to Eretz Yisrael, they're totally different. In other words, they come alive. He said he thought it was the whole environment, that was impacting on them. So, students who go to Eretz Yisrael, so they it really makes a big impact, a lifetime impact on them in terms of the learning. All right, now, he says, this relates, he connects this. Did you want to say something, Aaron Moshe? Everybody good? All right. So he says, this relates to what the Gemara says in Barach Olam Gimel. V'amar Reb Chanina, kol b'dei shemayim chutz mi'yirat shemayim. Everything is in God's hands except for mi'yirat shemayim, except for fear of heaven. He says, v'atah Yisrael ma'ashem l'kecha shu'el mi'mach and mi'yirat Hashem l'kecha. now, like Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear God? So the Gemara says, Atu Yirat Shemayim Milta Zutartihi. Is Yirat Shemayim like a small thing? Like, what does God ask you? Just Yirat Shemayim. What do you mean? That's the whole caboodle. Says Reb Chanina says, Ein lo kach baruch hu b'kin azav, lo osir shal Yirat Shemayim, Yirat Shem yotzaro. So the Gemara says, In the Gabi Moshe Milta Zutarti. For Moshe Rabbeinu, it was insignificant. So the Mefarshim asks, what type of answer is that? For Moshe Rabbeinu, it was insignificant, Yirat Shemayim. This mitzvah is given to Klal Yisrael. So how, like, in other words, your Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to Klal Yisrael. That disappear. But every rabbi has to know who he's speaking to. So how can he say, what is he asking for? That's a big thing. So he quotes here from the Dubner Magid, and I saw this also named the Ari, and also he quotes here from the Kli Yakar. He says, so the Dubner Magid says, it means like in Legabi Moshe can mean for Moshe Rabbeinu, but in Legabi Moshe can mean those who were like in the vicinity of Moshe Rabbeinu, those who were close to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was filled with so much Yirat Shemayim. So then the people who were near him, so it was Milta Zutartihi. In other words, if you're hanging around with somebody who's such a Yirat Shemayim, so Yirat Shemayim isn't so difficult for you either. You're very much impacted. And similarly, he quotes from the Sefer Toldot Yaakov Yosef, but Yaakov Yosef Hakomim Polnaa, Gabi Moshe, well, person in his generation, he says, Zutarti, that he says, Patach Tzinur Yira, he says, like the pipe with Yira was opened up, he says, but afterwards it was closed up. So he wants to save people in that generation. And it's based on what he says in the Rambam. A person is very influenced from his friends, his neighborhood, and that's the way that goes. Okay, anybody want to say anything? Yeah, what's up, Aaron Moshe?
I was just going to say that when I went to Torah Das, you know, it was a poor yeshiva, and if kids were in the dormitory, and the shiur in Beis Medrash lasted too long for Rav Pam, they used to come down to lunch, and Mr. Nussbaum around the kitchen said, there's nothing to eat. So they would have to go to go hungry all day, or go to the canteen and buy something. So they used to come. I always used to have like $10-$15 on me in the pocket. So they always used to borrow a quarter, or half, for a quarter or half dollar, you can get a whole lunch. You know, a tuna fish sandwich or egg salad sandwich and a drink and so on and so forth. So Rav Pam used to see this, and he used to say to me all the time, "So it's about Moichel Zandegel." Be immediately Michael the money in case they don't pay you back or they forget to pay you back, whatever. So it's about Michael's on the girl. As soon as you give him the money, Michael's on the girl. And that was the reason. Anyway, but not once you give him a den v'cheshbon.
Yeah, there's a similar, we're not exactly the same story, but it reminds me, like Rav Lerner has mentioned, and I think Rav Schechter mentions this also in his Sefer, like the Rav would give very long shiurim, and they would last hours, and so after the shiur would be out, so they'd run to the cafeteria and before it closed, in other words, to try to get in there before the whole YU cafeteria closed up. All right, let's take a look further in the Gemara, in the Sefer rather. Now he talks about the Hashbava place. He says it's not just the people. In other words, people have an impact on people, but he wants to say a place, this is working like in a Ruchni level, a place has an impact on a person. He says, so when you get to that place, you're mushba like for Kedusha. So he quotes from the Sefer Siftei Tzadikim, where Pinchas Midinovitz, who was a Talmud of the Oev Yisrael Me'apta.
Avraham Moshe Heschel.
So he says that's your ancestor, right?
It's a cousin, but I'm not right. Technical. But Oev Yisrael was a Talmud by the Rebbe Meila from the Gens.
All right.
Yisrael, the Choyzer, a Mendel from Limanov, Avodas Yisrael, the Rebbe Yisrael Kozhnitz, all Talmudim.
All right. So he quotes as a Mishnah and says, "Reb Chanina ben Tradion Omer, Shneim Shoshvim Ve'im Beinim Dibrei Torah Reza Moshav Leitzim." If two people are seated and there's no words of Torah between them, that's called a Moshav Leitzim. It means a gathering of scoffers. He says this is Moshav Leitzim Moshav. So he brings down in that sefer the name of Reb Michal from Zlotchev. He says, Lachora, he begins B'lashon Rabim Ve'im Beinim Dibrei Torah. He says, And then he's Mesayim Harezeh in the singular. So he says, in addition to which, why doesn't he say Shtaim Sheyoshvin Bein Omrim Divrei Torah? What's Bein Beinehem Divrei Torah? So actually, he doesn't quote it here, but he's quoted it. I know he frequently cites this. He quotes from Reb Chaim Vlozhner, has a Perish on Pirkei Avot, Ruach Chaim. So he says that Reb Chaim Yaakov Goldberg, the Rosh Hashiva in Kerem Yavne, would say, what does it mean, Moshe Vleitzim, that two people are sitting, and they're, in other words, like he would say, like, I would think, what's a leitz? Like, I have my feet up on the table, I'm drinking beer, that's a leitz. So two people who are seated and learning, but in Beinehem Divrei Torah, but like they don't hold from each other in Torah, so they don't discuss Torah with each other, because I don't hold from you, you don't hold from me. That's a Moshe Vleitzim, he was trying to say, presumably, but there's no good reason not to hold that way. But he has different parish here. So he says, it says in Chumash, Vayitzei Yaakov mibe'er Shava, the Yaakov left Be'er Shava. So it says, Rashi says, Yitzit Tzadik min ha'makom osa roshem, panaziva panahoda. Like the simple shot is, that Tzadik is Exodus, makes an impression.
By Yaakov Avinu.
Okay, it means like the glory leaves it, the is all depleted. So he says, so Lechora, so Ramichal from Zlatchev asks, why does he mention Lashon Tsar? In other words, if it's such a bad thing, why does Torah mention it? He should say, just he came to a certain place, which is Dabar Tov. So he says, Rashi, Baruch HaKodesh, Aderach HaMasor was saying that the Tzaddik goes from a place that a Rishim and a Kedusha is left, remains in the place. In other words, not that everything is depleted from it. And the and even though we're not mzaka to see it, that we can still sense it. He says that you see Tzadik Mekom Osa Roshem, the Rishima is left in that place, that the Rishima keeps coming back. And he says, and that's Pana Ziva, Pana like Vayifan Acharav. Pana doesn't mean cleared out, is one way to explain it, but it's Pana Ziva, that like the glory goes back to it, the Kedusha goes back to that place. So in other words, so he's saying that even when Yaakov left, but there was a certain Kedusha that remained in the place. That's the way he's learning, which is one second. So he says, just like by a tzaddik, there's a roshim of kedusha, so too by leitzim and rishayim, there's a roshim of tuma. In other words, if people are, you know, let's gaining in znus or something like that. So when a tzaddik gets to that place, his mind will be unfocused. He won't be able to come up with divrei Torah, because let's say somebody had a bordello in a place, and now they've left the place, and now I go to this place, somebody else is leasing the premises, and I try to study Torah there. So he's saying, this is Derech Hasidus, he's saying, like, the tzaddik might not be able to focus because there's, like, this ruach of tuma in the place. Like he says concerning Rebaruch Mezhebez, that once he was a guest in a wealthy man's house, and he rested there, and he couldn't say any Divrei Torah, and he understood that there must have been something, that a Rasha must have lived there, and they investigated, and they turned out that a Rasha had lived in that place, so he wasn't able to focus. It makes it difficult when you're looking for real estate. So he says. So that's what it means. Shnayim Yoshvim Be'im Be'im Divrei Torah, that they can't speak Divrei Torah, and they can't say one word of Torah. Ein Be'nehem Divrei Torah. In other words, they're not able to articulate words of Torah, and that's that. There's no Metzias there. That's a siman that place was once a Moshe Vleitzim. It's a totally different shot. In other words, Shnayim Shiyoshvim Be'im Be'nehem Divrei Torah. Two people are sitting, are trying to learn, but they're not able to learn. That's a sima that this makom was a makom Moshe Vleitzim. And that's, he says, now that's the piece. So he says that we can understand like the value of Yerushalayim. Torah says to eat the ma'isir, l'man tilmad, not just that you see all the things around it, but you're infused with the Kedusha from the Kedusha Samakom. So he's entering like, you know, like this is getting a bit more like in the Hasidic world, that you're influenced not just by friends who are live talking to you, but a makom and a ruchni level can impact on you. Okay, just one second. You know, it makes it a little like a little unnerving, like you're looking for a house. Do I have to ask, investigate who lived in this house? Were they Rishayim, Tzaddikim, whatever? But, you know, clearly, you know, the Chafetz Chaim had a house in Radin. And I can't remember who it was. I think somebody picked it up and moved it somewhere. He bought it or something. I don't know what it was. You know, like, you know, anyway, so what do you want to have, Aaron Moshe? What do you got for
me? I wanted to say that you should be a broker for the people who are building new houses in Great Neck.
because it's a good point that you have to be, because if you're going to buy an old house, that moisture function, if a Russia lived there before. So you could be a broker. Yeah. As we're building new homes, you don't have to be afraid. So
it's a little tricky, you know. sometimes horrible things happen. Sometimes somebody murdered somebody in a house or something like that.
That's Amityville Horror. But
the other thing is
the Reverend Michael Slotchiver that you're talking about, he became a Talmud later by the Night of Yehuda, and he used to come late to learning. So that Zwei Heilige Rieder, the Rebbe Schmelke from Nicklichburg, and the Pinchas Halevi Horowitz, the Haflah, wrote a letter to his son-in-law, the Rebbe Yosef from Poison, wrote a letter to the son-in-law of the Night of Yehuda, that the Night of Yehuda shouldn't have an akpada on the Rebbe Michal Zlotcheva for coming late, because the Rebbe Michal Zlotcheva is in the Bebechinah's Don. He stays in the back, and he zammels ein all the tefillahs that didn't come to the Kisei HaKovet, and he brings them up to the Kisei HaKovet. That's why he comes late to them.
All right. Now,
question.
Yeah, what's up?
When you talk about the Makom Leitzim, and if you talk about the pshat of it, does that apply to women at all?
Why not? I don't understand. What do you mean? Women at which end of it? If they're learning or they're engaged?
No, if they're engaged, if two women.
Right. No, it's
engaged.
Women are engaged.
Right. It's no difference, men or women. No difference. Okay.
Oh.
for, I don't know what's happened to you? All right. Let's.
Lockdown.
All right. Let's see further. Now I'm just going. I'll cut it short here, and then I just want to say one piece from the Sefer Morei Naya, which from Simon's quote in the past. He has a tune from Moshe. Moshe was asked if you could. Is there anything wrong with like renting a place? Which I don't know. I can't remember exactly what the tshuva had said. He doesn't mention it here. But let's say like it was, I don't know, like Znus taking place, and now the premises is available for leasing. Is anything wrong with leasing the premises and having a minion there? So Ramosha says, like a minion is bringing close to Hashem. That place is Metuav. So he takes the idea, and this is like really, it's really like, it's interesting. He's taking this idea, which sounds more like a Hasidic idea, and he's like, you know, with an into normative halacha, that he says you should not lease a place like that for a shul. Like the most extreme case would be, let's say somebody was running a bordello or a strip club. Let's say somebody was running a strip club. Now the strip club's not there anymore. Now the premise is available. I lease the premises. I clean up the whole place. I want to have a minion there. Is anything wrong with it? So Moshe says, yeah, there is something wrong with it. I couldn't have a minion in a place that's metuav. All right, now, I just mentioned one thing briefly, and then that's it. There's a piece from the Sefer Maorei Naim by Rav Nachum Chernobyl. Yeah. So he's the forebear of Dr. Bert Cohen and Rabbi Dr. Lieber Cohen. It says Aser ta Aser. So Chazal learn Aser Kadesh to Tasher. You should take my Aser so you'll become wealthy. And this I heard from Rav Simon. So and he when he gives a shir, he gives you like Mari Makomo, not Mari Makomo, he gives you like packets so you see it inside. He says that, you know, what does it mean that you'll become wealthy by giving tzedakah? He says that when you give tzedakah, you come to see you don't need so much. In other words, like if I give, I come to see I didn't really need it, and I become more satisfied with what I have. So he's saying it's not that I like won the lottery, like I give tzedakah and now my portfolio goes up. It's just like I become wealthier because I see like I don't really need everything. All right. I think that's going to be it for today. Any questions, comments, or thoughts? So nice having everybody here. Let me end the recording. One second. Let's end the recording.